This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The NBA is back and ready to tip off tonight with a double dip. The Pelicans and Jazz, the Lakers and Clippers. And who better to celebrate the opening of the NBA season with than Howard Beck, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Howard, good morning. Thanks for joining Andrew and I. Hope you're ready for some hoops tonight.
Good morning, guys. Yes, absolutely.
So let's just start here. We just were talking a little bit a while ago, Clippers and Lakers. Obviously, that's a little more juicy for us tonight than the Jazz and Pelicans. Bogus and I just had a little bit of a disagreement on, will we see the best LeBron ever based off no postseason last year, based off a four-month layoff here? Now, Father Time has to be catching up to him a bit. Where do you think LeBron stands as far as freshness and the peak ability that we will see LeBron at over the next 3 months?
I think we'll probably largely see the same LeBron we saw in March, and he was playing like an MVP then, so I don't think there should be any difference now. Obviously, as you note, he's fresh. Everybody's fresh. Based on scrimmages that we've seen televised over the last week, it seems like most guys, LeBron included, are in rhythm and in shape. Now, obviously with LeBron, given his work ethic, you expect he's in shape. The question has generally been whether, you know, the rest of the league and a lot of other guys, you know, top to bottom on rosters would come in, what kind of shape they would come in. But I think we'll see the same LeBron we were seeing before this all stopped. I think the big concern is that nobody's been playing at this level, competing, practicing, everything else for 4 months, and basketball shape is different than just other shape. And so will the NBA, you know, have a spat of injuries in these early games as they get moving? Like, that's the bigger concern, and that's obviously an even more pronounced concern if you are at the age that LeBron is. But, you know, look, performance-wise, I don't think anybody should have any doubts.
Howard, short of injuries, what about load management, I guess, especially in these eight seeding games for the elite teams who are just playing for how they're going to line up, even at that? So LeBron, Kawhi, do you think these guys are going to go all out as if they would in a regular season game, or will teams still kind of slowly bring them along here, protect them so they're fully ready to go for the actual playoffs?
Let's be clear. These are glorified exhibition games. These games matter in the standings. But it's eight games. The Lakers would have to screw up royally to lose the number one seed. If you're a team that's still jockeying for position, and, you know, even jockeying for position, like, for what? There's no home court advantage to pursue. But you might want to change where you are in the standings, especially if you're, you know, the Dallas Mavericks. You might want to get out of the seventh seed and get up to six. So there are some teams that have something to play for. Obviously, there are a handful of teams chasing the eighth seed, mostly in the West. I don't know if the Wizards really have any chance in the East, although the Nets are such a mess, who knows. But for most of these teams, these are exhibition games. They're glorified exhibitions. It's to get back in rhythm, to get tuned up, to get the feel of competition again. And when those eight games are over, six teams are going to go home, and the real teams will start playing the playoffs. And, you know, until then, yeah, you don't want to get LeBron or Anthony Davis or Paul George or Kawhi Leonard or Giannis, any of these guys, you don't want them getting injured. Yes, there will be, I think, a limit on minutes for guys. No, I don't think we're going to see the same level of intensity for this games as you might, as you hope you would in a few weeks when we get to the playoffs.
Howard Beck joining us from Bleacher Report. I got to be honest, Howard Beck just made the decision on whether I should go to bed at halftime of Lakers Clippers tonight. Very easy, based off calling them glorified exhibitions. Howard, as far as you know, the actual whether this goes chalk or not, there's no way of knowing, and I understand that this is all unpredictable. How teams react in the bubble, where focus is. But, you know, prior to this, obviously it felt like we were steamrolling towards Lakers, Clippers finding their way in a West Final. Do the Bucks end up there versus either the Lakers or Clippers? Are you still expecting more of the same? And if not, is there a team maybe ranked, you know, from the four seed down that you think could surprise and make a deep run here in the bubble in Orlando?
Talent rules in the NBA. Always. And the only thing that changes that formula or that truth is the unknown. The unknown in this case, maybe soft tissue injuries or something else that you know befalls one of the top teams. Maybe the virus intrudes on the bubble, although so far so good. But there's no reason to really believe that a team with LeBron and Anthony Davis or a team with Kawhi and Paul George healthy or a team with Giannis at its center, there's no reason to believe those teams are going to be any less dominant than they were when the season ended. Now, the unknowns are we don't know what impact it will really have on teams psychologically and otherwise to have no home court advantage, to have no away disadvantage. And actually, you know, there are guys in this league who sometimes say, you know, like, I love playing on the road. Like, I love the hostile crowd. That right. gets me going. Role players tend to struggle on the road. Superstars often thrive on the road. But we just don't know how any of these things are going to affect anybody. And the general environment, the longer they're down there, sequestered and cut off from the world, there's no telling how that'll affect anything. So the favorites should still be the favorites. It's still the three teams everybody was talking about. But it truly is a case of we just don't know how all of these weird circumstances are going to impact these teams until it actually happens. Talent still should rule out, rule in the end. But who knows? Quick couple footnotes on that, though. All things being equal or, not accounting for the unknown, I don't think there's really any challenge to the two LA teams in the West. I think those two teams are far and away the best two teams. In the East, I don't think it's as clear, and I never did even before the season was suspended. I think Toronto and Boston have a legit shot. I think if Philly gets their chemistry together, they can be in the mix. I even think Miami could be in the mix. I think any of those teams in Milwaukee could come out of the East.
You know, Howard, I'm glad you mentioned the Sixers because we spent so much time during the regular season, wondering why they couldn't get it together. Can they get it together? Why are they good at home, not on the road? I can't tell if this situation, and no one really can, but I wonder what maybe your first thought just is on this weird situation, maybe kind of forcing them to be together and taking away home and road splits. Maybe this actually is better for them than it might be for other teams.
Look, I mean, there's two sides to the Sixer equation. They were terrible on the road, and they were awesome at home. So which is going to help them or hurt them more, the lack of road games or the lack of home games? Again, these are the things that there are no answers to until they start playing games. More important than that is they now have a healthy Simmons and a healthy Embiid. More important is that they figure out the chemistry between those guys and the role players there because they've got ample talent on this team. And those are two top 15 players. You know, Joel Embiid, I don't think will make all NBA this year because he didn't play enough games and was a little off this season in general. But under normal circumstances, those guys are both all NBA players. And when you have that, plus guys like Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson, like it's a good group. It's a solid group. Al Horford, they're a little oddly constructed, and they had to work through some of that during the season, trying to figure out, is Al Horford, best in the starting lineup or off the bench? You know, they're now tinkering with the whole Ben Simmons power forward thing. We'll see how that works out. So they're the team, if we looked at just talent, you'd say this is one of the teams that should be a contender, but they're the one with the most volatility of that group.
Howard Beck joining us, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Kicking things off tonight or tipping things off tonight, the Pelicans and Jazz, and there was a lot reported on between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and their chemistry and everything that happened after the coronavirus first started. Should we expect the same Utah Jazz team that was a lot of fun to watch and chemistry was working so well, or do you think the Jazz are going to come out a little bumpy and things are very frosty still in that locker room?
Well, things can be frosty and still effective. I don't think their relationship is as important as their chemistry, and those things don't necessarily have to be the same thing. These things operate on a number of levels. I think the fact that the league was suspended for 4 months actually hurt the Jazz in this regard, because the bad feelings about the virus and about was Rudy, you know, too cavalier about it and all that, that happens, and then they all go away. The league shuts down. Everybody's on their own. There's no chance to work it out. There's no chance for that daily contact for any of us. You know, when you know, with friends, coworkers, whatever. There's tensions, and then you got to keep going. You got to keep working together. You got to still show up to the office the next day, and you patch things over. You work it out. Your teammates, you know, your coworkers, they're there to help it. Hey, guys, we got to get this thing back on track. None of that could happen. So I think the fact that this actually has lingered longer is partially because there was no basketball. There was no way to work it out. There was no environment that forced them together. So this is interesting now. I mean, they'll downplay it, as players always do. And whether or not those chemistry issues or personality issues are enough to screw up the Jazz or even force the breakup of that twosome remains to be seen. We'll see how they go. But I mean, as of right now, I would say the bigger concerns for them going into the restart are not those two. The concerns are that they don't have Bojan Bogdanović because of surgery that he needed during the shutdown, and that Mike Conley, you know, wasn't looking like the old Mike Conley during the first part of the season. We'll see if he can get it back. But, you know, I think they have bigger issues right now than whether or not their stars can get along.
Howard, before we leave the Jazz, the rest of the show was giving me crap earlier because I expressed my basketball crush on Joe Ingles. They think it's outlandish that I would like Joe, but tell them why they're wrong and I'm right.
I don't know what the basis for that debate was. So, but I mean, look, really good player, funny dude, great personality, teammates like him, nice secondary ball handler, can shoot a bit. What's not to like?
Yeah, exactly. Well, my point was I have a soft spot for guys who are, like, unassumingly good. Like, he doesn't look like an NBA player. He looks like a guy that I would play with in the local gym, but here he is out there being a very useful NBA player, and I like guys like that.
I don't know where the debate.
All right, I'll stay on this island.
Point to that debate is, but you know,
Howard, I'll just tell you this: you've been in plenty of NBA arenas and covered a bunch of games. Bogish, what started this whole debate was he is apparently so excited for the Jazz game that he has spent the last couple of weeks going online looking to buy replica Utah Jazz shorts to wear on the couch. And we said for a 40-year-old man to be wearing not just the jersey, but the shorts. I mean, if you've seen any of these people walk around the arena with the jersey and the shorts on, we find it to be a little disturbing. And then this led into his whole Joe Ingles debate. We're just very worried about Bogic's mental health as a kid from New York. Really worried about the Jazz that much. He's searching shorts on Fanatics. I think it's a little disturbing.
Well, when you grow up on the Knicks, it'll have that impact on you.
Great answer. Howard Beck, you can catch him. All his work on Bleacher Report, senior NBA reporter there. He contributes a lot to SiriusXM as well. He's one of the best. Give him a follow. Howard Beck on Twitter. Howard, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Enjoy the basketball and the glorified exhibitions tonight, man. Take care.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.